you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Wow. Did I stir up a hornet's nest or what? Oh, sorry. I shouldn't be rude. Again, I suppose. Let me start out by saying, welcome to another exciting hand-hair-singeing session of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Don't look at me like that. I singe the hair on the back of my hands almost every time I grill outdoors. And I'm willing to bet you do, too, if you admit it. Or at least most of you do. Yeah, I know. Rick Allspa of Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood, you remember him? He told me to buy a pair of high-heat gloves. That would solve the problem for me. But I just haven't gotten around to buying them yet. Hey, maybe my family is listening, and they'll get me some for my birthday next month. Hint, hint. Until then, I guess I'll just have to put up with the back of my hands being as hairless as the top of my head. You know, when it's really bad is when I'm cooking bacon outdoors. One of the tricks I've learned so far on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is to use aluminum foil to capture the bacon grease before it drops down into the fire and causes it to flame up and blackens the bacon on the grill. But I still lose the hair off the back of my hand when I turn the bacon over. Yeah, the aluminum foil does shield my hand just a little bit, but not enough to stop the hair loss. Luckily, my hair grows really fast, so it comes right back, even if it is in all the wrong places. Like Johnny Lee once sang, looking for hair in all the wrong places. You know, like my ears, my eyebrows, my nostrils. Speaking of hair growth, have you seen those I Grow Hair helmets they're selling online these days? Google it. They're based on the concept of laser technology that will regrow hair. Now, notice I didn't say grow hair. I said regrow hair. These things are so ridiculous. Some of them even come with headphones. Might be the stupidest thing I have ever seen. And I sent mine back for a full refund. I mean, I would never be seen in public with one. Or I guess I should say I'll never be seen in public with one again. No, don't worry. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't fall for a gimmick like that. Besides, I've fully accepted my lack of a full head of hair. I've actually embraced my shaved head look. Think about it. I never get pillow hair or hat hair. I don't have to buy a comb or a brush or shampoo and conditioner. I don't have a hair dryer. And other than the 15 minutes a day it takes me to run a Norelco shaver over my face and my head, I don't have any hair maintenance issues at all. As my old friend Barry Warner always says, there are only a few great heads in this world and all the rest have hair. Thank you, Barry. I've used that line many times. I'm not quite sure how I got off on that tangent, but boy, I really did, didn't I? I guess I ought to address my opening statement, shouldn't I? Yes, I did stir up a hornet's nest during last week's monologue. I ranted about the Houston Texans game against the Jaguars, and I might as well just go ahead and face the music, so I'll drag out the old email bag. By the way, I suppose I should clarify, it's not really email. It's private messages on our Facebook page. But anyway, here's one that pretty much sums up what several people seem to think about my comments. How can you call yourself a Houston Texans fan after the way you talked about them on your show? Love them or leave them? Okay, that's a fair comment, and I respect your opinion. I really do. If you support the Texans, no matter how badly they play, that's just fine by me. But personally, I refuse to wear the deep steel blue tinted glasses or drink the battle red Kool-Aid, if you will. When the Texans stink up the joint, I'm going to call them out on it. And to me, they strongly resembled a polecat on opening day. Even Bill O'Brien admitted as much, but One of the other messages I got berated me because I didn't even point out that the Texans rebounded on Thursday night by beating the Bengals, and that, too, is a fair comment. The Texans pieced together a pretty doggone good, decent game plan. They figured out a way to win on the road, so that's fairly impressive, especially considering all the injuries and that suspension. So, yes, I should have at least paid lip service to that. I accept my criticism, and I'll try to avoid letting my emotions get the best of me in the future. In the final analysis, the Texans are still 1-1, and that's better than 0-2. But I'm sure not looking forward to what's waiting for them in Foxborough Sunday. Whew, Tom Brady will not be a cordial host. Okay. One more from the email bag. This one will actually be about the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, okay? Why can't you say brewery? You're supposed to be a professional radio announcer and you can't even say brewery? Okay, brewery. 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 Yeah, I do struggle with that one. But you know, we all have trouble with certain words, and that's just one of mine. Pat Sajak can't say Antigua, and he gives away vacations to Antigua on Wheel of Fortune all the time. I can remember when I worked in Shreveport, Louisiana, several decades ago, a lot of my friends would call it Shreveport, you know, like the possessive version of Shreve. And it was named after a guy named Captain Shreve, and it was his port. But obviously, that's not the way you say the name of the city. More than one person said it wrong over the years. Brewery is just one of those words that simply doesn't want to roll off my tongue the way it should. You know what I mean? And I haven't got the foggiest notion why. And it's not like I can just stop talking about breweries on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, because craft beers and good food just go together. Kind of like Shreveport and Antigua. But that was a good show on burgers and beers last week, wasn't it? In fact, one of the things I learned from that show was the concept of twice-fried potatoes. Now, everybody's heard of twice-baked potatoes, but I'll admit, I'd never heard anyone ever explain the idea of frying potatoes twice to keep them from being greasy and soggy. And both Ryan Savoie, you know, if I can say Savoie, why can't I say brewery? Anyway, both Ryan Savoie, you remember St. Arnold Brewing Company, and Rick Kelsey of City Acre Brewing, they were executive chefs at both of those places. They took the time to explain the process of twice fried potatoes. And it's one of the coolest cooking techniques I've learned yet on this show. You know, to me, it's just my opinion, but there's nothing worse than going into a restaurant and ordering a delicious cheeseburger and then getting a disgusting pile of greasy, limp French fries to go along with it. Now, I realize some of you absolutely love greasy, limp French fries, and if you do, more power to you. I kind of look at greasy, limp French fries the same way I look at love 'em or leave 'em Texans fans. To each his own, you know what I mean? But to my way of thinking, those crispy on the outside but soft on the inside twice-fried potatoes that Ryan and Rick described, that's the most perfect French fry I have ever heard of. Some people call them frites, but I just call them good. That was a completely new technique for cooking French fries, one that I had never heard of before. But I'll never be able to eat them any other way again. And by the way, if you didn't hear last week's show, if you didn't hear that explanation of twice fried potatoes, you can always listen to it again, or any of our episodes, or all of our episodes, on our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Just click on podcasts, and yes, they are absolutely free. And thanks, too, for all the email bag comments. Your criticisms are always welcome around here. They don't bother me in the least. I feel like this really is your show, and I'm just the host. So I always welcome your opinions, even if they take me to task about something I've said or done. Remember, a private message on our Facebook page, which is simply The Outdoor Cooking Show. Easy to find. But enough about beef, be it from beef on last week's show about burgers or your beefs about me. This week, it's not beef, it's birds, as in chickens, because September is National Chicken Month. So today, we'll hatch some new ideas, cackle with our friends, and start from scratch. Oh, settle down. I'm just having a little fun here. I'll stop now. Just don't get your feathers ruffled.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls, but not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to texascellphoneboosters.com.
Smoking a tender, juicy, delicious brisket is not rocket science, but it's not as simple as just throwing the meat on the grill either. That's why Brisket U is an essential learning tool for the backyard smoker. Brisket U is a fun, informative class on how to smoke a true Texas brisket in a laid-back, unintimidating environment taught by experienced barbecue pitmasters. In 1 3-hour class, Brisket U will teach you how to properly start a fire, control the pit temperature, and choose the right wood. Plus, you'll learn about smoke profiles, trimming and rubs, the smoking process and timing, and of course, how to slice and serve a perfect brisket. Brisket U holds classes at numerous convenient craft breweries around Houston and only costs $69 when you register online at brisketu.com. There are lots of classes, but size is limited, so go to brisketu.com and sign up today. That consistently tender, juicy, delicious, true Texas brisket is now within reach at brisketu.com. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
Welcome back to the Voice of Reason. And also our boss around here, the guy who owns the name, the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. It's Greg Berlocker. Hi, Greg.
Good morning, Randy. How are you?
Well, the question really, more poignantly, is how are you? Because a lot of people don't know this about you. You're an outdoorsman, but you're more fisherman than you are hunter.
Right.
And so you and your wife, Sally, bought a beach house in Rockport.
That's correct.
So did you actually base out of Rockport during the storm? Did you ride out the storm in Rockport?
No, we were in Sugar Land.
Oh,
and,
okay.
I was boarding up the house, and Sally called and said, hey, it's a tropical storm, but they say it's going to be a class one. So I said, oh, okay, I'm glad I'm boarding it up. And then I came back to Sugar Land, and then by the time I even made it back to Sugar Land, it was a class two or class three. And Rockport is just, it took it bad. It was a class four. The eye wall of the hurricane went over the Key Allegro area, and then the back of the eye wall just absolutely devastated Copano Bay.
How did your house fare?
It was good compared to so many others. We're very blessed. We were going to need a new roof and had some inside damage, but four doors down, a tornado hit and just vaporized their house.
Oh,
and
my.
One block behind us, either the same or a different microburst hit their house and vaporized it, and the only thing left is stilts and a floor. Everything else is just splinters.
How about what was going on around in the neighborhood?
We made three trips, and it was very depressing. All of the beautiful oak trees were stripped of their leaves, and they looked like they're dead. The good news is they're all coming back, and things are greening up. But it was so remarkable that people just came. They knew that there would be a need. They weren't called by an organization, and people would just set up shop in parking lots and on corners, hand out bottled water, hand out cans of insect repellent, because the mosquitoes were just terribly fierce. And I met one group from Paradise, Texas. They knew that there would be a need, so they rounded up donations, and they cooked 1,400 pounds of brisket.
1,400 pounds?
Yep, 1,400 pounds. It was all paid for donations. Six guys from this church just said, we got to go. And they set up in the old HEB parking lot, and the first day they fed 1,000 people because all the restaurants were closed.
Of course.
And it took several days for the HEB to open, so there was no place to eat. There were church groups from all over. There's Operation Blessing, which falls under the Christian Broadcasting Network.
Okay.
And, of course, Samaritan's Purse falls under the Billy Graham Organization. Both of those were coordinating both need and volunteers.
Huh.
So people would just show up and say, I have a need or I want to volunteer, and they would match those two together. Operation Blessing told me that there were 3,700 volunteers, far more than any other disaster in a small town that they had ever seen before.
Well, I'm just glad that you and Sally came through the storm. Okay, we can replace the house, but we can't replace Greg and Sally. So it's good to see you, my friend. Now, for those of you who have not heard previous interviews with Greg, he's not only our executive producer, he's our go-to foodie. Tell us, who was your mentor, your inspiration in the kitchen?
Probably my mom. She used a term called by guess, by golly. She never used measurements and things like that, and that was her style of cooking, and somehow she could always take what was in the refrigerator and make a wonderful meal out of it.
And Boy Scouts played a big role.
Absolutely. Well, I kind of took that approach, is that what do we have? You'd look around in the red igloo cooler and say, oh, we got this and that, and let's cook some dinner, guys. And they always said, sure, Greg, you cook. So I guess it wasn't too bad.
Did that start as a scout or later on when you became a scout master?
No, it was both. And then as a scout master, when you're in a really well-run Boy Scout troop, it's a boy-led troop. So the scout leaders get to actually relax and just kind of take in what's going on. And so I always enjoyed being the camp cook. So a lot of the other scout masters would love hiking up and down the hills and all of that while I would hang around the campfire.
Waiting for dinner to be ready. Now, today's topic is National Chicken Month. I didn't know there was such a thing, but why am I surprised? So chicken is healthier for everyone, they tell us, except the chicken, of course. So what are some of your favorite recipes for chicken?
Probably the all-time favorite is chicken piccata. The whole family loves that. It's super easy. You take some chicken fillets and breast that you slice in half and dredge them in flour, and you lightly fry them in butter and oil. And once they're done, you take them out, keep them warm, and you add some chicken stock and lemon juice and capers, and then simmer all that down until it makes this wonderful lemony sauce, and then throw the cooked meat back in there and toss it, and it's just that easy. But we also do a lot on the grill and in the pit and things like that. So braised chicken is one of our favorites.
Now, are these the braised thighs you were telling me about off the air?
Yes. So thighs are so affordable.
My favorite. And,
yep. So I think they have a lot of flavor. And you can buy
and a lot of meat.
Yes.
That's why I like them.
Well, so many times you can buy for like 99 cents a pound. So if you need a way to economize or looking to feed a big family, you can get a great big package of eight thighs for just a couple of bucks. So, And I like the ones with the skin on. I think there's just nothing more delightful than a perfectly cooked piece of chicken that has crispy skin.
My wife will take the skin off, saying, oh, that's very fatty, and I'll say, just don't throw it away.
Yeah, exactly.
Put it on my plate, please. I'll eat it. But braised thighs, give us that recipe.
Well, braising is cooking. It could be either on the stove or in the oven, and it's not boiling, but you add usually maybe an inch of liquid, cooking liquid. It could be wine, it could be stock, it could be water. I like some like stock because it adds more flavor to it. So if you're going to do a thigh, I'll pan sear the chicken thigh on all sides, and I'll add some sort of butter or oil to the pan first, and you want to start with the skin side down. You want to cook that for a good couple of minutes to get the skin really good and crisp. And then flip it and turn it and cook all the sides, and then remove the chicken. Then you can add, if you want to add some garlic and onion to the bottom of the pan, that would be great. Some people add carrots and potatoes, but you need to put some stock in there and cook those down. If you just want to cook the chicken without any of the extras, put about an inch or so of stock. You don't want the stock to come up to the skin. You want it to remain so the skin remains out of the liquid, and then put your cooked chicken thighs back into the liquid and then cover it. And if you're going to do it in the oven, about an hour, 325. If you're going to do it on the stove, it's probably more like 30 to 40 minutes. Then the secret is when you cover that in a moist environment, all that nice crispy skin is going to get soggy. So what I usually do is I'll run that under the broiler for about five more minutes. That'll drive all the moisture out of that skin again and crisp it back up again.
Chicken wings are very popular, but you were talking about a more healthy alternative to deep fat frying them.
Oh, fried food is probably my favorite. As my friends in Lafayette say, it makes it mo' better. So one of my very good friends up in Maryland had said, well, we do them on the grill. And I was intrigued, like, really, I've never heard of that before. He goes, yeah, it's you cook them on an indirect heat so you don't have a big grease fire, and they come out just as flavorful. And you need to make sure that your pit is hot enough. You ideally want it up around 400 degrees, and that'll help crisp that skin up. But if you cook them for about an hour, hour and 20 minutes.
On indirect heat.
But close to the fire enough to get hot enough, you have to judge it, and then you flip them to make sure that both sides get done. But you can create a pit-roasted chicken wing that's really crispy, just like it's fried. And then once they're cooked, of course, then you can add the sauce.
And everybody talks about having French fries. And I know French fries are popular. But, folks, I'm going to throw him a curveball, and I want you to watch him knock it out of the park. Give me a recipe for macaroni and cheese, Greg.
Gosh, the one I did last month was lobster mac and cheese, so I made regular mac and cheese, the store-bought kind with the soft, and I added a little cheese to add a little extra goody and make it creamier, and occasionally I'll add a little heavy cream to the store-bought sauce, and that kind of kicks it up. But then I had some lobster tail in the freezer. It made a wonderful side dish.
See, I told you, folks. He's a genuine foodie. Right off the top of his head, mac and cheese with lobster meat. Wow. Greg Berlocker, our executive producer and resident foodie on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, and it's right off the top of his head. Thanks for dropping by, Greg.
Thanks, Randy. Always a pleasure.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoking hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about $1 a day, NuStar can collect all the data remotely so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for a truck for $1. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about $1 a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about $1 a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200. Or NuStarInc.com.
Smoking a tender, juicy, delicious brisket is not rocket science, but it's not as simple as just throwing the meat on the grill either. That's why Brisket U is an essential learning tool for the backyard smoker. Brisket U is a fun, informative class on how to smoke a true Texas brisket in a laid-back, unintimidating environment taught by experienced barbecue pitmasters. In 1 3-hour class, Brisket U will teach you how to properly start a fire, control the pit temperature, and choose the right wood. Plus, you'll learn about smoke profiles, trimming and rubs, the smoking process and timing, and of course, how to slice and serve a perfect brisket. Brisket U holds classes at numerous convenient craft breweries around Houston and only costs $69 when you register online at brisketu.com. There are lots of classes, but size is limited, so go to brisketu.com and sign up today. That consistently tender, juicy, delicious, true Texas brisket is now within reach at brisketu.com.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
Say hello now to Akilah Francis, who owns and operates Stush Caribbean Fusion Food Truck. Welcome, Akilah.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Akilah is a native-born Jamaican, so how did your friends and family fare during the storm?
We were pretty good. We were blessed. It barely touched us. We just got a lot of rain, but that was it. Everybody's safe.
Our audience would much rather hear you tell this story than me. So where in Jamaica were you born? How did you come to the U.S.? How did you acquire your passion for cooking?
Well, I was born in Kingston, so I'm a city girl. And I was actually adopted in Jamaica and came to the U.S. when I was 5 with my adopted mom. And first we lived in New York, and then we moved to Houston, and then we've been in Houston ever since. And it's a Jamaican tradition to have the oldest daughter or, you know, someone in the kitchen, the oldest. And my mom always had me in the kitchen with her. So I got down all the recipes like memory from then, because we started really early. And then after that, I just noticed that when other kids were outside playing, I was actually in the kitchen like experimenting. So I knew this is what I really wanted to do. I had no interest in being outside.
You began as a caterer.
Yes.
And your bio states that you even cook for several celebrity friends when they visit Houston. So drop some names on us, Akila.
Okay. A really close friend of mine, Tony Rock. You know, he's the younger brother right underneath Chris Rock. He's a comedian also.
Ah.
He loves Houston. You would swear he lives here. So for, I want to say, almost 15 years now, I've been cooking for him. He'll come into Houston and he'll just send me a text message, hey, what's on the menu? And yeah, and I'll just bring him food. Or there have been times where he was out of town working and he'll just say, hey, man, I'm hungry. And I'm like, where are you? You know, I'm thinking he's here. And he's like, oh, I'm in Ohio. And I had to send like 2 pans of lasagna overnight.
All that time you were working in the corporate world, but
yes, I was.
But you yearned to branch out on your own. So tell us how that happened.
Okay, so I was actually, I got into a really bad car accident. I want to say it was 2011, maybe 2012. And I was taking a cab to work one day, and the cab driver just struck up a conversation with me. And he just said, hey, you know, you ever want to find out what your passion was? Or what your passion is, you know, you have to remember what you did when other kids were outside playing and, you know, carrying on. Like, what were you doing instead? And I was like, I never really thought about it that way, you know? And I was like, well, I was inside, like, figuring out how to make caramel apples and stuff like that. And he was like, that's what you should do. He was like, do you cook on the side? Do you enjoy it? I said, I actually really, really enjoy it. And he was like, that's what you should be doing for a living. And it wasn't, I don't think it was a whole month after I just said, you know what, I quit. And I started my business 6 months later.
And thus, the Stoosh Caribbean Fusion Food Truck.
Yes.
So what's the origin and meaning of the word Stoosh?
Stoosh is a Jamaican slang term for like fancy or like bougie, you know?
Ah.
My mom, when she sees how I plate my food, you know, because when we're eating, normally, we're not trying to be really fancy with it. We just put the food on the plate and we eat. But plating is a big deal for me, you know, and I won't eat something unless it looks appealing. Even if it tastes good, you slap it on the plate, I'm not interested, you know. So once I started plating my food and taking pictures of it and stuff like that, she was like, oh, my God, your food look real Stoosh, you know. And that, yeah, that's where it came from.
So currently, Stoosh Caribbean Fusion is strictly a food truck. But can people request, maybe you drive your truck to their place of business and prepare lunches for their workers?
Yeah. Actually, I do a lot of that. Also do private parties. It's crazy. This past graduation season, I did about 5 graduations. Yeah. And then, you know, they just request the truck to come out and everybody lines up and they just order their food. They really enjoy it. It's so different. I've even gotten requests for weddings.
But you have plans to build a brick and mortar restaurant soon. Tell us about that.
Eventually, yes. It is a labor of love. And, you know, with Houston, it's all about location. And our traditional Jamaican restaurants are very like small and like mom and pop-ish. And I didn't want to go huge, but I didn't want to do mom and pop either, you know?
Sure.
So I have to, you know, it's a lot of work that goes into it, and I have to make sure I'm doing it the right way. So, yeah, we're putting a lot of time into that, but soon, very soon.
You say island cuisine can be a bit intimidating and not very pocket friendly. What does that mean?
It could be expensive. You know, our meats aren't very traditional. It's not just chicken or it's not just beef, you know? goat or lamb, certain cuts of pork, and our fish, especially. Snapper is a big, is the most popular fish in Jamaica, and it's really expensive. So what I decided to do was I wanted to kind of deconstruct the traditional stuff and add a little bit of flavor from all kinds of cuisine from, you know, all over the world to kind of give it a fusion. Because Jamaican food is scary. Like, if you've never been to Jamaica and you've never, like, experienced it yourself, and I've met a lot of people who actually travel but still don't like to try the food where they're traveling.
Most of us have eaten Jamaican cuisine, but I dare say most of us don't understand one of its most popular elements, jerk seasoning. So give us a quick overview of jerk seasoning, what ingredients it entails, how it's prepared, and how to apply it.
Okay, so jerk seasoning is, all right, Jamaica has one of the hottest peppers in the world. It's called a Scotch bonnet pepper, which is a habanero, right?
Okay.
You really need gloves to work with it. That's how hot it is. But it's like ground up. It's that pepper ground up. It's onions ground up. It's garlic, even cinnamon, brown sugar, all that stuff. And you could do a wet rub or a dry rub, but most of the time, if it's traditional, it's a wet rub. And you just marinate your chicken, and then you grill it. But there's a certain type of wood that you need that's, like, specific to Jamaica. But, I mean, anything works. And, you just, it's a process. My take on it, on my food truck, which I do traditional also if it's requested, but my take on it is I fry mine instead of going through that whole, you know, grilling process. I do marinate, like, it marinates for days. So it's, like, in there, you know? And then the only thing I don't do is grill mine. I just fry it.
Today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is centered on chicken because it's National Chicken Month. And when it comes to Jamaican food, there is nothing more well known than Jamaican jerk chicken.
Right.
So tell us how you make it and give us all the details so we can try it at home.
Okay. You can actually, if it's easier rather than giving away my actual recipe, in your grocery store, you should be able to find a Jamaican jerk rub. You rub it on, you marinate it, you know, you keep it marinated overnight, and then you have the option of put it in the oven, or you can just grill it for, I want to say on the grill, on really low heat, maybe about 30, 45 minutes, really low heat. And, you know, you have to turn it over and stuff. And traditionally, we eat it with just bread. It doesn't really go with much else.
Forgive our naivete, but does jerk seasoning go well on other meats?
Yes. I actually do jerk tacos on my truck, which is pork, beef, shrimp, or chicken. And also I've done salmon.
And how about vegetables?
Yes. Yes, it's good on veggies.
Now, in your professional opinion, what is the biggest mistake that most backyard chefs make when they grill chicken over an open flame in the backyard?
They overcook it, and they don't understand, like, a lot of people don't understand that when you take it off, you know, like, if you take it off a certain amount of time, people are, you know, very weary about what the coloring inside and is it being cooked at the right temperature. But it continues to cook, you know, and it's over drying, which I'm not a big fan of barbecue because of that.
Stush Jamaican Fusion Food Truck is open Monday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. And Akilah is in the process of building a brick and mortar restaurant very soon. So we want you to come back on the show when you accomplish that and talk about your restaurant, okay?
Right. Thank you so much for having me.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Smoking a tender, juicy, delicious brisket is not rocket science, but it's not as simple as just throwing the meat on the grill either. That's why Brisket U is an essential learning tool for the backyard smoker. Brisket U is a fun, informative class on how to smoke a true Texas brisket in a laid-back, unintimidating environment taught by experienced barbecue pitmasters. In 1 3-hour class, Brisket U will teach you how to properly start a fire, control the pit temperature, and choose the right wood. Plus, you'll learn about smoke profiles, trimming and rubs, the smoking process and timing, and of course, how to slice and serve a perfect brisket. Brisket U holds classes at numerous convenient craft breweries around Houston and only costs $69 when you register online at brisketu.com. There are lots of classes, but size is limited, so go to brisketu.com and sign up today. That consistently tender, juicy, delicious true Texas brisket is now within reach at brisketu.com. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com. Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
It's been over a week since we talked, so I think I need my friend fixed. Here's my old Hudson and Harrigan buddy on the radio, Fred Olson. Hey, pal, how you doing?
Well, I need my Randy fixed, too. How you doing, Randy?
I'm doing well. We talked with craft brewers last week, so I didn't schedule you for the show. But I wanted to get your take on craft beer. What's your favorite or favorites?
Craft beer. Okay. So I like a lot of the Carbach, which is a Texas brand. I like Blanco Pale Ale. Gosh, there's so many. You know, there's St. Arnold. Gosh, you know, put me on the spot there. I like a lot of them. I don't like things that are so big and really over-hoppy. I like to enjoy beer. I don't have to, you know, think about it too much while I'm drinking it.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Carbach and St. Arnold because we've interviewed the executive chefs of both of those places. There's no shortage of homegrown craft beers in Houston, that's for sure. And before we leave the subject of last week's show, we talked about grilling burgers. Have you done that lately?
You know, not so much burgers. What have we grilled? I did chicken. I do it real simply, but I haven't done burgers recently. I think because we did so many during the flood, that was kind of a go-to for us. So we kind of laid off them for a while.
Well, I found a recipe for those burger patties that have the little cheese bits already mixed in, and they suggested that you even stuff a cheese ball right in the middle of the patty and give it an extra kick of cheese. That's pretty decadent, huh?
I would love that. Probably mozzarella for me, though.
For those of you who don't know, Fred and his wife, Bev, now live on a real nice ranch out near Columbus. So I have to ask you guys if you planted a fall garden this year.
You know, we haven't, but we've been in the process of cleaning up what was left over from the spring garden. And it's finally getting kind of, we're debating what to do with it this coming year. Because I like, what she does is a certain kind of, I think it's called a Chinese cabbage. It's between lettuce and cabbage, and it's brilliant stuff for coleslaw and salads. She's taking care of the grandkids this week, so we'll discuss it when she gets back from Dallas and we get the last of those beds cleaned out. A lot of times what we'll do this time of year, is we'll kind of almost, sanitize the beds. We'll cover the bed itself with a clear plastic, and we'll just cook out anything that it is not good, because over time, all these storms blows in lots of weed seeds, lots of different stuff.
Uh-huh.
So you sanitize our soil like we did last year, and we had mushroom soil in spring, and it just does some amazing things. Something to consider.
So today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is focused on chicken. You just mentioned chicken. It's National Chicken Month. And I thought I remembered you talking about a recipe for beer can chicken. But when I asked you about it off the air, you said you'd never done that, right?
Well, I think it was Jim Bob. Now, if I was speaking, I was speaking to Jim Bob at the time. Remember, you'd have to get one of them great big Australian beers to get them big chicken butts over it, you know?
I guess I'll have to get Rowdy Yates to give me that recipe, because I know he'll be familiar with any dish that includes the words beer and chicken.
I think the problem for a cooker is having a cooker tall enough to stand a chicken up in, and mine won't do that. It just won't do that.
Some call it chicken on the throne, or beer butt chicken, or dancing chicken, or even drunken chicken. But it does involve a whole chicken and shoving the opened can of beer up the chicken's, how shall we say, cavity, so you hold it upright, and then you slow roast it over indirect heat for an hour or more. And they say, I don't know whether to believe this or not, they say that the beer will actually evaporate up into the chicken meat and give it a brewed or a roasted flavor.
Now, I've not tried that, but I can see where the moisture would really come in. It would probably make it really, really moist. And if you did a different type of beer, like a darker beer, or maybe something that is like a Hefeweizen or something, might give it a different flavor.
Supposedly, though, the chicken, because it's in this upright position, like you mentioned, that makes the fat drain away and the skin gets evenly cooked. And some people swear by it, but I have a friend in the neighborhood. I ask about it, and he said, it's just a waste of good beer.
You know, I think that's what Jim Bob said. It's, you know, you just wasted the good beer.
But you really stop and think about it, Fred. If it's offset from the direct heat, is the beer really going to reach a boiling point? And does that mean that it doesn't get up to steam level? I'm a little skeptical of the whole idea.
Well, you know what? I think that it takes longer than an hour generally to slow cook a chicken. It takes you about an hour and 40 if I do a whole chicken offset, uh-huh, with especially with charcoal.
Yeah.
So maybe if it's in there longer, definitely it's going to get hot. That beer will get hot. Whether it steams, I don't know, but it might get a real nice flavor going. It's worth a try. Why not? Just say you did it, right?
And a waste of good chicken.
But I've got a recipe for you that has nothing to do with beer cans.
Okay, great. What is it?
This is one that Beverly, because she does 99.9% of the cooking, but I can do a couple of things. I can do ribs, and I can do lamb. And there's this chicken recipe I found. I want to tell you about it. It's called grilled lime chicken leg quarters.
Ah.
You get the leg quarters, you can get them like in big bags. They're not terribly expensive. And you get some garlic, sugar, grated lime zest, lime juice, some olive oil, cumin, black pepper, cayenne pepper, some fresh cilantro. and you'll make kind of a paste with that, right? So what you do is you take the leg quarters and you lay them down and you score it four times per leg quarter, all the way down to the bone. Cut right through the skin, right down to the bone. And you're going to make a paste of these things, right? And you're going to rub it all over that chicken, down in the crevices, under the skin, underneath it, the whole thing. And I like to let them sit at least a day, wrapped in saran wrap or something, just to let that really sink in, because there's that lime stuff is working. Now, you'll save part of that paste left over to make kind of a sauce for you. Okay?
Okay.
And you'll combine that later. And once you cook that, I grill it. And then I'll finish it in the oven, because I always like to make sure my chicken is done. I don't want to find a lot of pink or anything in the middle of it. So I'll sometimes get that good crispiness going on it. And then I'll finish it in the oven. The flavor it gives it. And then you have some of that lime zest put over at the end with some cilantro. And my wife, she loves it. And anytime I can make her something, you know, it's like a three-point shot. Boom. I win.
Yes, you win, and Fred gets lucky.
But give it a whirl. Look up, I mean, there's dozens of recipes like this. And if you're a guy and you're not used to cooking stuff, and like I was at first, and I'm going, what do I make for my wife? What do I do that's different? I found this, and I went, I'm going to try it. And you can change the recipe the way you want. I put a little more cayenne because we like things a little hotter. I use a little more cumin, a little more cilantro. And just kind of make it your own. You're going to win a heart with this one. It's good.
My wife, Cindy, makes a family favorite. She made it, as a matter of fact, for our weekly family dinner last Sunday night. It's called spicy chicken pasta. And I tried to get her to come on the show to talk about it, but you know Cindy, she'd rather clean out a cat's litter box and talk on the radio. So I guess I'll just have to get the recipe and talk about it myself. And before we close things out for the day, what'd you think of Deshaun Watson's debut with the Texans, my friend?
I was very excited because he got better as the game went on. He started to figure things out, mm-hmm. started to read things. We just can't let him be running out so much because he'll end up like Cam Newton with an injury or RG3 or Michael Vick. Because they want to win so badly that they'll do anything they can to get that first down or that touchdown. And you can do it for a while, but when they figure you out.
And how do you think he'll do against the Brady Bunch this weekend?
You know, if they keep it simple and they have more of a front line because they made it, put everybody on the front line to protect him, I don't know. But the defense, it looks like they kind of got back on track. We got some people nicked up. But I'll tell you, like Zach Cunningham coming in and taking over for our PED friend, number 56, and I'm sorry to see him out. Do I think we'll win? Probably not.
No.
Would I love to see a miracle and see this team have a signature win and Deshaun Watson make it happen at the last second? Absolutely. That's why I'm going to be watching.
Boy, it sure would turn the NFL upside down if we did that, wouldn't it?
What you think of this last week, the Packers looked like crap. Falcons looked like world beaters. And last week, the Patriots sucked. And everybody's taking turns second. And the Seahawks, man, they got no offensive line either. We're not the only ones. It's, you just don't know anymore what's going to happen on a Sunday. The Cardinals, you know, they just kind of messed up. And the Colts played right down to the wire in a game you thought they'd get blown out in.
Any given Sunday, right?
That's so true, and that's what I'm hoping for our group of guys.
Okay, old pal, that's it for another week. I want to leave you with this one last thought, though, okay?
Okay.
I dream of a world where chickens can cross the road without having their motives questioned.
Wow, that's so liberal, man.
Well, that's as close to liberal as I'll ever get.
You're a Sanders guy, right? You're voting for Bernie, right?
Love to Bev. I'll talk to you next week, pal.
Love to Cindy. Bye, brother.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
I was about cooking something up with me.